The implication when someone says, "Follow me," is that they know the way. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 35 through 44, Jesus used those same words, "Follow me." Brother David Johnson will use the same expression as his sermon title on this Words of Life program. We are a weekly gospel program that seeks to tell you about Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We will hear Brother Johnson soon, but first we praise our Lord with song.
Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is
Holy Father, it is only through the name of Jesus that we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for this great privilege. Lord, teach us to do your will. Some of those who are hearing this program are lost in sin and need Jesus. Others are burdened with health issues or concerns. We seek your help for each of them. Please be with all works of faith that uphold your name and protect them as they are faithfully serving you in the world. And when Jesus comes at your appointed time, help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please listen as Brother David Johnson will speak on the topic, Follow Me.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God, as we make application to our own lives using the Word of God as our template, as our Bible for life. The title for the lesson is Follow Me. And the text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 44, which I'll read during the body of the lesson. If we were going to start a new organization, if we were going to start a new business, who would we select? Who would we handpick to be our partners, our assistants, our employees, our co-workers? We would probably pick people with money if we were going to have partners, and people with talents that are trustworthy and well-trained in what we need, in what we're trying to accomplish. Jesus of Nazareth hand-picked 12 apostles. This word apostle literally means ones who are sent off. That is, Jesus' emissaries to be sent off eventually to evangelize, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection being the heart, the core of the gospel. 11 of the original apostles did this. One, however, who needed to be chosen was the betrayer of Jesus the Christ. Yet the whole lot of them were rather average in most ways. Not particularly talented nor trained, certainly not to be evangelists, to carry the gospel to others. Jesus looked on the heart and saw and knew what no other man can accurately see and know. Similarly, today, Jesus sees our hearts and knows in advance our yesterdays, today, and tomorrows. We have choices, and Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, will have the final say regarding each and every one of us, regarding our choices and decisions in this life. It's no wonder that Jesus of Nazareth captivated the people's attention. For a rabbi, that is a teacher, well-versed in the sacred Jewish scriptures, his approach to just about everything regarding his ministry was incredibly un-rabbi-like. He did not fill the usual mold. He was different, even radically so. Not in a bad way, instead in a much better, in a good and refreshing way. For example, his miracles seem more like something a prophet would do, like Moses. Yet Moses wrote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him," Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. And that, we believe, refers to Messiah. And his choice of his first 12 disciples was not at all kosher. Not only who, but how? The fact that Jesus chose disciples was strange in itself. Really? Why? Amongst the Jews, it was supposed to work the other way around. Religious students typically pick the rabbi they wanted, the masters that they wanted to study under. Much like doctoral degree students today select their preferred professors and mentors. And the men Jesus chose was not only unorthodox, it was bizarre. but in a good way. Jesus did not choose the holy elite. Jesus did not choose the brainiacs. He chose fishermen. At least four of them, for sure, were fishermen. Instead of holy elite, he chose a taxman, a collaborator with the detested Gentile Roman oppressors. Instead of choosing rising stars of Judaism, he chose at least one follower from a rising freedom fighter secret cult called Zealots. This discipleship at the outset seemed to be a mismatch of misfits for a master teacher. Who would expect anything from fishermen but fish? Later, the Jewish scholars sized up the leading apostles, Peter and John, as recorded in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Ah, there's the huge transforming factor. These men had been with Jesus. That is, day and night, for some 3 years of intensive training to emulate, to follow their master. With Jesus, anything in God's will is possible. Jesus wonderfully matched these men on the same team, although one of them was a devil. John chapter 6 and verse 70. This dirty dozen in darkness became his chosen people. Jesus Christ expected great things from the 11 and Matthias, who later was chosen to replace the betrayer. Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. Disciples serving as apprentices would spend as much time as possible with their rabbi, learning from his words, emulating his lifestyle. The goal was to retain as much knowledge and wisdom as possible. As one rabbi in ancient times put it, quote, "To hold on to the knowledge like a plaster-sealed cistern, not letting one drop of water escape," end quote. Jewish law, especially the hundreds of laws preserved in the first five books of the Bible, is what most rabbis of Jesus' day taught. However, Rabbi Jesus didn't spend as much time teaching his disciples about the law as he taught them and us about God behind the law. So let's dive into our key text, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 37. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So John the Baptist, the forerunner, pointed his disciples to Jesus of Nazareth. The two became transfers from John to Jesus. The two disciples were Andrew and most probably John, who became the beloved apostle. Since the Messiah, the Lamb of God, was present, the only reasonable response was to follow him. Jesus increased with his followers. John the Baptist decreased. In comparison to Jesus Christ, every other human being is only a pawn before their king. Verses 38 and 39. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Didn't Jesus already know what these two following him wanted? Of course he did. He did not ask that question for his benefit. Instead, the Lord asked the question to challenge them to consider their motives for following a new rabbi. Notice Jesus didn't ask whom they were seeking, but instead what they were seeking. "What do you want?" A commentator writes regarding this passage, quote, Jesus' question bids them to look searchingly at their inmost longings and desires. Jesus has the highest treasure any man can seek. He longs to direct our seeking toward that treasure in order that he may bestow it for our everlasting enrichment. End quote. Well said, well written. What do we seek from Jesus? Just eternal life? Is that all? Surely that's important. But Jesus offers so, so very much more treasure. Andrew and John answered indirectly with their own question, "Where are you staying?" We should not think that they were just curious about his lodging. This was a master rabbi whom their former teacher, John the Baptist, referred them to him as the Lamb of God. So they were courteously requesting an extended private session with their new rabbi. Their response also signaled their interest and willingness to become Jesus' disciples. Jesus' immediate response was, "Come." The Master was inviting them to come and gain from him personally insight into his mind and heart. Wow! Don't you wish the Apostle John would have recorded details of what Jesus shared as they spent that day with him? Jesus Christ never puts off honest, sincere seekers. Not then, not today. Apparently, so vividly etched in John's mind was this life-changing encounter with Jesus that he recorded in his gospel account the time. It was about the 10th hour. That is, about 4 p.m. or about 2 hours before sunset, roughly. Whatever Jesus taught them, it was enough to convince Andrew of his excited testimony to his brother. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Here, and in Andrew's two other appearances in John's gospel, he brings someone to meet Jesus. The other two, Andrew brought a young boy with barley loaves and fish to Jesus, John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. And he intended some Greeks to meet Jesus in John chapter 12 and verses 20 through 22. How often, we should ask ourselves, have we introduced Jesus to others? Andrew not only introduced, on this occasion, he brought Peter to Jesus. Verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which, when translated, is Peter." Jesus' penetrating, omniscient look saw not merely a man named Simon, but also the future leader he would mold him into being. Cephas is an Aramaic language word meaning rock, the same meaning of the name Peter. Jesus himself directly called some of his apostles. Consider verses 43 and 44. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida originally." 'Follow me,' are the words of Jesus that continue to reach hearts of people of every background, of every country, on every continent, of every culture and language. After more than 2,000 years, 'Follow me,' still today, can transform alien sinners into God's saints sanctified positionally through saving, obedient faith. So, dear listener, have you followed Christ? Can you hear in your heart and mind, even right now, the words of Jesus, "Follow me"?
We are thankful that you have listened to Brother Johnson's sermon. If God has blessed you personally, or if you have questions, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program to hear again or share with a friend by requesting number 2330. That's program 2330. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.